What is going on, guys? Hello and welcome back to another edition of the GoingForTwo.com NFL Sports Betting Show. We are back. It's week 9 already. The time sure flies. I don't know where it all went, but we have been on fire. If you don't like money, turn this podcast off right now. Plug your ears. Do whatever you just do. Not listen to our picks because we have been on an absolute tear the last several weeks and, of course, all season long. But these last several weeks, we've made 12 picks and we are 12-0. Clean sweep every single week. We have not been wrong in the last 3 weeks. So if you do like money, continue to listen to this podcast and we're going to make some more for you this week. Now, if you followed along to my picks throughout the 7 weeks that we've done this podcast, starting at week 2, you are looking at a payday so far of $5,725 so far on the season. It's been an incredible season for us, and we hope to keep it going in week 9 here. So, fellow sports bettor Zach Quick is on the line with me. He's here to help me break down the slate. Zach, what's going on tonight, man?
Good so far. Haven't had any wins or losses yet, but I got hockey going right now, so hopefully that hits in a few minutes here.
Oh, God, I cannot bet on hockey. It's a pet peeve of mine. Too random for me, man. I've seen too much shit go down. I've lost a lot of money betting on NHL. Soccer, too, I won't do, because if you take a money line, they could possibly tie. So hockey and soccer are out for me, my man. But who you got going tonight, then?
Right now, there's actually a game over in Finland. It's the Winnipeg Jets against the Florida Panthers.
Oh, dang. They're sort of like the London game of the NHL. Nice.
Yeah, there's like a global series that goes mainly through Sweden and Finland. I think they do a couple Russia games here or there, mainly because of hockey being so Scandinavian and Russian dominant right now, with all the top players being from there.
So week 8, of course, is come and gone. We had a really good week here at the show. What about you, man? How'd your picks do in week 8 in the NFL?
I think, if I remember correctly, I finished like 7-6 or so. So it's still a winning week, marginally. A couple games kind of happened to fall by the wayside at the last couple minutes. Beyond that, it was an overall successful week.
For sure. Anytime you can be in the green, always a success. That's what we're trying to go for. Yeah, we're going to talk about your Browns in a sec. It's been a big week for them. You, of course, are big. You're in Ohio there, big Browns fans. So I've got a lot to talk about with them. But yeah, it was a great week 8 for us. We had, let's see if we can recap, $100 on New Orleans plus 1. They beat the Vikings by 10. Then we had our $200 teaser of KC plus 2.5, Pittsburgh plus 5.5, Green Bay plus 22.5. They lost by 2. And then the last one was a New England PK against the Bills. And then our $1,000 money line parlay of Pittsburgh and New England hit for about $425. So it was a really good week for us. So we're back at it again for week 9, playing a little guess the lines with Zach Quick. So let's jump right in, man. You ready?
Let's rock.
Awesome. Several bye weeks. We got the Indianapolis Colts, the Bengals, the Giants, the Cardinals, Eagles, and Jacksonville. 6 teams on bye, so don't have to worry about any of those games. A lot of teams I don't like to bet on anyway. So the first game we're going to be jumping into is Chicago taking on Buffalo in Buffalo. Chicago has been sort of the surprise team this year. They're 4-3. Buffalo has just been a train wreck, 2-5. Now, Zach, a ton of money, almost every single parlay, money line, teaser is going to have Chicago in it in some facet this week. And so I talked to you earlier in the week. I think when there's so much money tied up in a game like this, I feel it's just a major trap. What are your thoughts on this game?
I'm on the same side, actually. If their weather up in Buffalo, which usually somewhat mirrors ours to a certain extent, right now it's been raining here for the last 2 days in Cleveland, my guess, and it's been relatively kind of 40s, 50s. My guess is that it's going to be somewhere around there during game time there. Hopefully it's not, but, you know, same thing with Detroit. Everything always mirrors, some them mirrors us. My guess is that the weather might have something to play. I hope it doesn't, but I think it will. But I think it's still a little bit of a trap game no matter the weather, with Chicago being so heavily bet, and really their offense isn't the best, and they haven't been extremely consistent. And Buffalo, just like they did with the Minnesota game, they came off a big loss, and they somehow won by 21 points.
Yep, exactly.
They have a way to do it. Nobody knows how they do it.
For sure, man, for sure. They've been a very scary team to bet on or bet against this year for some reason. Of course, in week one, Tampa Bay destroyed everybody's Saints parlay, moneyline, teaser, candidate. And it seems like there's just so much fucking money tied into Chicago this week that from a spread perspective, I am not touching this game, man. I just don't. I think there is a roadmap where Buffalo can win this game. I mean, it's at home. I know Nate Peterman is at quarterback. I get that. I totally see how it's an easy game to bet on. But, you know, they have a really good defense, a really good secondary. It's at home. The weather may play in. They could get a crazy fluke like return, kickoff return, touchdown, something like that. I could see Buffalo actually sneaking out this W. What do you think?
Yeah, especially with their defense. They don't get a lot of turnovers, but somehow they still manage to hold teams to what they shouldn't get. Just like last week, it took for New England to cover. It took a pick six in the fourth quarter. Other than that, they were only down 18-6, and there was only a bunch of field goals. They got one other touchdown. Other than that,
yeah,
I think it's extremely possible they could, especially with, like I said, how bad Chicago's offense really has been and how inconsistent they are. Obviously, Mitch could have a game like he had versus Tampa Bay a few weeks ago, but it seems like those have been few and far in between. I think they might not want to really lean on them that much, but you never know.
All that being said, I mean, it is in Buffalo. Chicago is leading the NFC North right now. My guess for the spread was Chicago by 8.5 points. What did you say, Zach?
I have them at 10, only because of the records, but I can see it going a little bit lower than that, but I'm probably going to stick more with the total instead of the spread, only because of how scared I am about it.
For sure, man, and you are 1-0 right now so far. It is exactly 10 points in Vegas right now. You hit it right on the head. Chicago by 10, that's basically about where I see them as well. Now, I do have a bet in this game. I'm not touching the spread whatsoever, but I'm going pretty light this week because there's a lot of tough matchups like the Rams taking on New Orleans, Green Bay, New England, Seattle, Chargers. So I'm going kind of light, but I do have a $500 teaser as my main bet, and I'm teasing the over-under of 37.5. Bumping it to under 50.5. So I just see no chance that this game gets anywhere close to that. I think the under hits for 37. So 50 points bumping that up is one of the legs of my teaser. What do you think about that one?
As I showed you earlier, I have that in a teaser as well with a couple college games. So I'm 100% in on that as well. I'll probably throw a little bit on the straight bet to go with the under, just because they are two bad defenses, and Nathan Peterman is quite possibly the worst quarterback in the NFL.
He might be, like, if he retired tomorrow, I think he'd be, like, the consensus, like, worst quarterback in NFL history. I think he really would. The internet has just had a field day with him. He's in a ton of memes and just gets absolutely destroyed on Twitter. I feel pretty bad for him, actually. But I mean, you got Trubisky on the road, who I don't trust. Nate Peterman is, of course, terrible. And both defenses are very, very good. I don't see any way this game gets to 50 points. And I really don't see any way this game gets to even 37 total. So that's one of my bets. Other than that, anything stick out to you, really? Or is it just the over-under?
On that game, it's going to be the over-under, and that is going to be the only thing I'd possibly even think about betting.
Yeah, for sure. This screams trap game. So much money tied into it. Vegas is just, if Buffalo somehow pulls it off, Vegas is just going to have an incredibly good week, just like we saw in week one with the Saints losing to Tampa Bay. And then, of course, there was a lot of money on Minnesota when they played the Bills in week three, and that turned out to be a shit show as well. So that is a good call. I'm staying away. Normally, I mean, I just get suckered in and throw it in a tease to like plus three, but I don't trust it this week. This is a total trap game for me. The next game on our slate, we have a divisional matchup, NFC South matchup of Tampa Bay coming into Carolina to take on the 5-2 Panthers. Buccaneers, of course, 3-4. Carolina has been really, really solid this year, of course, coming in 5-2. They're a lock for the wild card right now. But, of course, they have the Saints in their division. Cam Newton's playing really well. It is at home, so I said Carolina by 6.5 points.
I have the same exact number.
Very nice guess. You and me are very close here. It is Carolina by a full touchdown. 7 points in Vegas is what I'm seeing. Pretty chalky, I guess. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is now starting. It is in Carolina. Now, one thing I want to mention is a guy who pays a lot of attention to fantasy and DFS. Why is everybody on Fitzpatrick this week? I know he's like cheap on DraftKings, but like, it's Fitzpatrick on the road. Like, why are we all of a sudden like jumping on him? I don't get it. Can you explain it to me? Because nobody really has given me a good answer.
I think the simple answer would be they're hoping the Fitzmagic somehow pops back up, just like he did earlier this season.
I thought we already like put Fitzmagic in the grave, man. I thought the Bears game was enough. They lost by like 45 points. But apparently not. Fitzpatrick is, of course, the starter again. So that being said, I don't know if we're going to see Fitz tragic or Fitz magic. So from a spread perspective, can't stay far away enough from this game. I have no bets in this one. It's a classic stay away for me. What do you think?
I have nothing on this game yet. The over or the total actually might be a good call with Tampa Bay not having good defense. And with how good Cam Newton has actually been playing so far this season. As the week goes on, I'll probably look more into it and hope some numbers fall. But as of right now, I don't have anything on it.
Yeah, for sure. The over-under is pretty high at 54 points. But, of course, the Buccaneers, they can give up 48 in a heartbeat. They did to the Bears on the road. Carolina, of course, having a really good year on the offensive side of the ball. Cam Newton's been really solid. Then the Buccaneers have a really good offense as well. They have Godwin, and Mike Evans is having a bounce back year. O.J. Howard's killing it too, so they have a good offense as well. I do kind of like that over, but for me, nothing that I want to put money on in this game. I could see it going either way. Maybe a Bucs upset could be possible. I could see it. The next game on the slate, we have your team, the Cleveland Browns, at home, taking on the 7-1 Kansas City Chiefs. Big week for the Browns, man. We have Hugh Jackson. Finally, prayers have been answered in Cleveland. He is fired. He is not there anymore. Todd Haley, also gone, offensive coordinator. I apologize. I have not done my research. Who is the interim head coach right now?
It is Greg Williams, the DC.
Ah, yes, of course. Greg Williams there is taking the reins. Yeah, so this game, I want to talk about your team quite a bit here. They've been one of the more interesting teams in the NFL. Of course, Baker Mayfield, first overall pick. He comes in after the Tyrod injury, and I want to know your thoughts. I don't know what to think of Baker right now. I think he started off hot, of course, against the Jets, and everybody in Cleveland is photoshopping his face on Jesus Christ's body, and now I just don't know what to think. He's had several very bad games here. The one play I wanted to mention was it was in the fourth quarter. They were down by like 16 points, something like that, and they're just trying to get some garbage time in there. And Baker like did a little scramble, and he threw one of the worst passes and picks I've ever seen in my life. He just like scrambled, and then he just launches it, and then I saw the replay. There's a guy there, and I'm like, oh, wow, he actually found someone, and he's wearing black and yellow, and it's perfectly thrown to the defensive back, and he picks it. What are your thoughts on Baker right now?
I think a lot of his issues have to do with our lack of an offensive line. line. I think the offensive play calling has a lot to do with that. I don't think they're opening up the playbook as much as they probably should for him, seeing as how what kind of quarterback he actually is. He's not a full pocket passer. Just like we did with Johnny Manziel, you don't keep a running multiple quarterback stuck in behind an offensive line, especially one that's as porous as ours. I think most of the offensive play calling also had a bit of an issue with it was Hugh Jackson versus Todd Haley, not really a Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley kind of idea where they were going at each other, which if you saw Hard Knocks, that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, hey, this is my team. I don't want you. You got hired because of them. You didn't get hired because of me. We're going to try you, and if I don't like the way you're doing it, then you're going to be called out on it. That's what you did. I don't think Todd Haley liked it either. What I would have done instead of firing Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley was just get rid of Hugh Jackson. It didn't seem like it was all Todd Haley's fault. It seemed like it was Hugh Jackson just being a asshole to him for no reason, just because he was jealous that he was taking over his play-calling duties. Which, again, if you saw the last couple of years, you would know that Hugh Jackson cannot call plays very well.
Without question. I looked up his career record because, of course, it was like, see, I think his record with the Browns was
336-1.
Yep, and I totally forgot he was the Raiders head coach for a bit, which bumped his career record 8-8 with one season in Oakland. But if he had gone down and just had the Cleveland record, I mean, we're talking about the worst head coach of all time. 336-1, how you even keep a job at that record is incredible to me. He should have been fired after 1-15, but and then 0-16
happens.
He was also
the worst coach over the last 3 years against the spread as well.
Interesting. That's funny.
13-27 against spread in the last 3 years. 13-27.
Oh my gosh, it's been a tough go for you Browns fans out there. But on the other side of the ball, Kansas City 7-1. They're high-flying. Mahomes is the MVP favorite. They are on the road, so new coach, KC. I said Kansas City by 9 points. What do you think?
I have them at 10. I think you can also go a little bit higher, too.
Vegas says, I'm right on the money here. It's KC by 9 points, according to my bookie a couple minutes ago. Got that one right on the head. I think this is an easy teaser candidate. Kansas City is not going to lose this game. I think this could honestly be like a 45-10 game. I honestly think Kansas City could just destroy Cleveland. So I'm throwing them in my I'm throwing them in my 13-point tease. So it bumps KC from 9 to +4. You get the field goal hook. So I like that pick a lot. Anything in this game you got?
I will. I haven't placed any of my NFL bets yet, mainly because of college football the next 3 days, but they will definitely be included in probably multiple teasers and probably a parlay or two.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. The money line is about -475 for the Chiefs, +390 for Cleveland. So, yeah, I like that a lot as well. I mean, I just think this is going to be an absolute blowout. However, one thing I have to mention. Several years ago, and we've seen it in years past, but the one example I can think of is the Dolphins, like 3 years ago, they fired Joe Philbin, their coach, and they were like 0-5, the worst team in the league. And then they played a relatively good Buffalo team the next week after firing their coach, and they won by like 30 points. And so, if I know it's KC and they're really good, so if this game was like against the Jets, I would take Cleveland as like a finally Hugh Jackson got fired. Well, let's play hard for the new guy. Show him like we're all in. So I kind of get that feel a little bit, but it's against the Chiefs, so I don't think that's gonna happen. But if it was against a shittier team like the Buccaneers or something, I could see a Cleveland like bringing the guys together, an upset win like we saw with Miami several years ago, but. The Chiefs are bound to be in the AFC Championship game this year, so I don't see it in this game. So the next game on the slate, we have the 3-5 New York Jets going to Miami, 4-4. This is probably my least favorite game on the entire slate. Very boring game of two mediocre teams. I really have nothing to say about either of these teams. Miami at home just looks like a classic. Dolphins by three is what I said. You, me, and Vegas are all on the same page. Miami is favored by a field goal. 3 points for the Dolphins, so you and I got that one. Boy, I really... God, both of these teams just very boring, very mediocre. I really don't have much to say about either of them. They're going to get a relatively high draft pick, both teams. But someone has to win this game, so I don't have any spread picks in this one. But is there anything in this game that sticks out to you? Because I really don't see anything.
No, not really. Two mediocre teams, that's basically what it is. Nothing really good that sticks out extremely far right now. Unless Ryan Tannehill miraculously comes back, which isn't going to happen.
We got the heist. Brock Osweiler is still starting there. The Brock star. I don't want to watch a second of this football game. There are plenty of other games on the noon slate that interest me way more. However... I don't dabble in prop bets a lot, but I really like this one this week. I'm throwing just a little flyer, a $50 flyer on Devontae Parker over 59 receiving yards. I think he has a huge week. I think he goes over 100 yards. So I saw that one. It's minus 110 for that. I just jumped on it. I picked him up in fantasy this week as well. So I think Devontae Parker, he seems to be Osweiler's favorite target there, and they really don't have many other receivers, so I like that pick quite a bit. Anything else you want to talk about in this game?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, me neither. The over-under is 45.5. That seems about right. Miami is at minus 190 for the victory. The Jets plus 140. Yeah, I don't want to talk about this game anymore. I will not be watching any of it. Osweiler is starting in this game. I don't want to see anything in this game at all, so let's go on to the next one. The next one we have the 4-2-1 Steelers taking on the Ravens of Baltimore, 4-4. Now, Zach, I have to bring this up. It's the first thing I think of when I think of the Steelers this week, and it happened in the game against your Browns. I love really, really smart plays in the NFL. Like several years ago, there was a play with John Harbaugh and the Ravens, actually, coincidentally, where they had they were punting and they were up by three with like 10 seconds left in the game, and he just had his punter run in the end zone for a safety to win by one, and the game was over. Love smart plays like that. And then I just cannot not stand stupid plays in the NFL. And the Steelers did one, and I really want to talk about it. Against your Browns, it was like the third quarter. I have a bet on this game, and it's like 16-6, and the Browns are kicking off, and no one fucking fields the kickoff on the Steelers. I was in shock when I watched it. All my years of playing Madden, I know that punt returns, you can touch it down and it's wherever, but kickoffs, it is their fucking ball, and Cleveland got it on like the 30-yard line with down 16-6. If they get a touchdown, they're only down by a field goal. What the fuck was that about? Why the hell did that happen in an NFL game with 11 players who are NFL caliber guys? That was the stupidest thing I've seen all season.
I don't think they realized that a free kick counts as a scrimmage kick, where if it goes, once it goes past that 10-yard window, that anybody can touch it. I think that they were thinking it was more like a punt, where once the other team downs it, it is what it is. You get the ball there. But yeah, it was a monumental mistake that only because it was the Browns playing them, didn't hurt them one bit.
Very true, very true. The Browns, they just fell on the ball. If they had like picked it up and ran, they could have ran it in for a touchdown, right? I believe so.
But
they just sort of fell on it. So it was kind of a blunder on their part as well. I believe they did get a touchdown on that drive, though. But as a bettor who had the Steelers +5.5 and their money line, I was furious. I could not believe that happened. Poor coaching by Mike Tomlin. For them not realizing that. Mini rant there by me, but Baltimore 4-4. They've sort of come back down to earth. They started off hot as 4-4-2. So it is in Baltimore. These teams do not like each other. I said Baltimore by 1.5 points.
I have Baltimore by 3.
Wow. Given a lot of respect to the Ravens, I got it by 0.5 point here. I'm seeing Baltimore by 2 points against the Steelers. So a division matchup, a very important game for both teams. Baltimore looking to get in a wild card spot. And then Pittsburgh, I know we've talked about this division before. I mean, Cincinnati's having a good year. Baltimore, before last week, was having a really solid year. But they're still leading the division. Anything you like in this game? I'm sort of staying away right now. But you may talk me into something. Do you like anything in this game?
I might be leaning toward the under.
Over under of 47.
Baltimore has a relatively good defense. Actually, they're top 5, I believe. I know for sure they're top 10. Their secondary, I know last week was a little bit banged up with Marlon Humphrey not being in, I assume, and hope that he's probably going to be in this week. They still have Eric Weddle. They still have, you know, all the other guys that are up there. T-Suggs. They've also been known to play some dogfights where they lean more on the rushing game versus Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh having James Conner. I know he's not Le'Veon Bell, but I think they might try to lean more on that too. So if I do anything, it'll probably be the total, which I don't know what it is right now, but depending on what the number is, I'll either tease it and take the over at a lower number or just take the straight under. That's probably about it.
I'm seeing 47 as the under, which is, I mean, both of these teams, I mean, it's Baltimore at home. Flacco is much better in his home stadium, so that seems about right to me. I don't really like anything in this game, but you like the over-under, which is a good play. I could see that. I could see under. And then Pittsburgh, their defense is kind of coming on strong as well. They're sort of figuring things out because they were abysmal to start the year. So, let's see here. Yeah, nothing really in this game sticks out. Baltimore's money line is -190, and then Pittsburgh +140 for the victory. Nothing in this game that I want to bet on. I feel like it's just going to be a close game. And I believe Baltimore won by 2 touchdowns several weeks ago on Monday Night Football. But, yeah, nothing sticks out to me here. So the next game we got, we're looking at the 3-4 Detroit Lions taking on my Minnesota Vikings at 4-3-1. Detroit, they've sort of given up on the season, I'd say. They just traded away Golden Tate, who is having a great year for them. Minnesota coming off a brutal loss to the Saints in a game that we really needed. So they are 4-3-1, trying to fight for the division still and a wild card berth. It is in Minnesota, so I said Vikings by 4.5 points.
I have the same number.
Great minds think alike, but Vegas is a little off from us. They say Vikings by 5.5 points, so we're a point off. A divisional matchup, Detroit, I said on our season preview podcast, probably the most boring team in the NFL. I really just, there's nothing I like on this team. One thing, Kerryon Johnson, their rookie running back, has been really good, and they haven't had a running back there in how many years since Barry Sanders. So that's like the only thing that sticks out with this team. But I don't know, this game, I think a lot of people are going to be hopping on Minnesota because they looked really good in the first half against the Saints. They are at home. But I get a little bit of trappiness in this game. I think Detroit can come in and win this football game. What do you think?
I think they can. They're going to have trouble, I think, getting the ball to some of their wide receivers, though, namely Marvin Jones. Without having Golden Tate there, like Xavier Rhodes is going to be mainly on him, and he's generally been a relatively solid cornerback. They also have been known in these matchups with Detroit to shadow Marvin Jones and keep Xavier Rhodes on him, which leaves their only other relatively good wide receiver open, which is now Kenny Galladay. If anything, I don't think I'll take Minnesota, especially not straight at 5.5. I'll probably look at the total, or I'll take a prop on Galladay. And with how good Thielen has been, I'll probably take a prop on Thielen too, because it seems like he's going to be avoiding Darius Slay, who is Detroit's best cover corner. and Slay will probably be on Stephon Diggs or one of the other wide receivers.
I like it. I like it a lot. Another interesting stat to mention in this game, you just mentioned him, Adam Thielen has 8 straight games of 100 yards, and Megatron, of course, has the record of 8, so he has tied it. Now, they are playing his team, so I haven't checked. I assume the over-under on his yardage is probably like 100, 105. I think they will force feed Thielen 200 yards so he can break that record. It would be a great story as a hometown kid from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, against the team that Megatron played for, a division rival. I think there's no way that Thielen does not get 100 yards in this game, so I think he's breaking the record. 9 straight games of 100 yards for Thielen is a very, very solid pick. I think he goes over 100 easily, maybe 130, so that is probably the only thing I like. I don't have a bet on it, but I may change my mind later in the week because I haven't taken a look at that one. But the over-under is 50 points exactly. Minnesota minus 275 for the win. Detroit plus 190 for the victory. Yeah, I think this Detroit has played the Vikings very solid the last with Matthew Stafford at quarterback the last several years, so I don't really like anything in this ball game. It sounds like you're staying away too, basically, right?
For the most part. If anything, it'll probably be a feeling prop.
Nice.
With how good as he's been, he at least got to throw something at it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's almost been a guarantee for 5-6 catches a game, and lately he's been a guarantee for 100 yards too, so might as well take advantage of it while you can.
Yep, no question about it. No question about it. The next game on the slate, the Atlanta Falcons come to town 3-4, taking on the somehow this is a thing, the Washington Redskins are 5-2. It might be the quietest 5-2 I've ever seen in my life. They are just a super boring team, and they're coached by Jay Gruden. Nothing really sticks out, and yet they're right now leading the NFC East and look to be at least a lock for the wild card. So I did not see that coming. Now, Atlanta has just been plagued by injuries. Devontae Freeman is out for the year. Deion Jones as well. So they've really suffered because of it. They're 3-4. They were picked to win the NFC South coming into the year. It is in Washington, so they've been pretty hot lately. I have Washington by 2 points.
I have it as a pick.
I see. Vegas sort of siding with me on this one. It is Washington by 1.5 points, according to my bookie, so I get that one. But this game, I don't know. I think a lot of the money's going to be on Atlanta because I don't think bettors in Vegas believe in the Redskins, and I'm one of them. I don't think the Redskins are good. I don't know how they're 5-2. Any insights or plays in this game? Because I think Atlanta can upset this team easily. I think they could win by a couple touchdowns, honestly.
Actually, I might be siding with Washington. They have the better defense. Alex Smith is known as a game manager, and Matt Ryan is somehow prone to a lot of mistakes here and there, and they don't really have that good of a running game. Adrian Peterson has somehow turned back the clock a couple years.
Yeah.
And he's playing relatively well, which is surprising if you look at how he's been for the last year or so before this, before he went to Arizona for his 2-game stint last year. He really wasn't that good. But now he seems to be going back to how he was in Minnesota. And they're feeding him the ball, which I think has a big thing to do with it. So I think I'm going to side with Washington on this one.
Yeah, the resurgence of AP, he's been fantastic. He had 2 touchdowns last week, 150 yards. The big thing, of course, he used to play for my Vikings is that when he had that terrible year several years ago, he had a major injury. We were in our new stadium, and the offensive line was virtually the worst in football, and so that, of course, had a huge, huge impact. Washington's offensive line is actually really good, and it's shown. AP, he's on pace for over 1,000 yards. He's had a great year thus far, and that's really been the difference for them being 5-2. He's made a huge, huge difference for them and is having a great, great bounce back year. So I want to bet on Atlanta in this game, but you made some good points. Washington's defense is actually really fucking good. I think they might, like, points per game-wise, they have to be up there as one of the top three or four, because not a lot of teams have scored on them. They held the Packers to 17 points. They've been playing very, very well. So I don't like this game at all. Just on paper, it looks like a shitty game. I don't want to bet on anything. I kind of wanted to throw Atlanta in a tease, plus 15, plus 16, but you talked me out of it. I don't think I like anything in this game. The over-under is 47.5. Washington money line minus 160, Atlanta plus 110. So, yeah, it looks like you kind of like Washington in this game.
As of right now, yeah. Just going off of the injuries that Atlanta does have. Especially on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think the Devontae Freeman injury really impacts a whole lot, mainly because he really hasn't played the whole season anyways. But I think in most cases, defense will win out. Also, as a side note, Julio Jones has never scored a touchdown while being guarded by Josh Norman, and he looks like he's going to be guarded by Josh Norman again this week as well.
Yeah, very good point. He, I think it's been 12 straight football games without a touchdown for Julio. He's having a great year from a yardage perspective, but fantasy owners just keep tweeting at him and getting pissed that he just cannot get in the end zone, and it's not going to happen this week either. Josh Norman has had a really good season for them as well. Big anchor for that defense. So, yeah, Atlanta, you know, I think their Super Bowl window's closing here pretty fast. Now, on the if Vegas is correct on this game, Washington by 1.5, the Redskins would be 6-2 after this game. Like, they're on pace for 12 wins. That would be ridiculous if that actually happened. But I think they're going to come down to earth when they play the Eagles. And, you know, they have a tough road ahead, actually. So I'm not buying it. I don't think the Redskins are good. Their team is really boring. I don't know a lot of names on the defensive side of the ball for them. I don't want to bet on this game at all, so let's just move on from this one. Next one we're talking about, we have the 5-3 Houston Texans taking on the 3-5 Denver Broncos in Denver, Mile High. Houston started off 0-3. They are now 5 wins in a row, 5 straight for them. They are 5-3, leading the AFC South. And then Denver, they started off 2-0, and now they've come back down to earth with Case Keenum. Just traded Demaryius Thomas. All he had to do was walk over his luggage and his bags to the other locker room, because he is now playing for the Texans in this game. So that being said, it is in Denver, tough place to play. I said it was a pick 'em, honestly, no spread.
I have Houston minus 1.
Very nice guess by Zach Quick. It is Houston by 1 point exactly. Hit it right on the head. Houston, I've coming into the year, I was really, really high on them. Of course, Watson coming back. Watt is back now. Fuller is now out for the year, which kind of sucks. But they did pick up Thomas. And I still think that they can easily make the playoffs, and they kind of have a stranglehold on that division. But Denver, they've been a tough team to bet on this year. I mean, they'll beat Seattle, then they'll lose to KC by a couple points. They lost to the Rams. They covered the spread in that game. They've been really, really fucking tough to bet on this year. So I'm staying away from this game. But anything in this game stick out to you?
Not really. If I do, I'll probably side with Houston. Only because now that Hugh Jackson is fired, Vance Joseph is the worst NFL coach against the spread. Also, I think Houston has a better defense as a whole. Chris Harris isn't going to be guarding DeAndre Hopkins. He's just probably going to be on Kuti or the decoy known as Demaryius Thomas. I think overall Houston is better. That's probably where I'm going to be leaning. The total could go either way. I think that depends a lot on what the weather is going to be in Denver or how the Houston offense decides to play. Same as with the defense.
Yeah, for sure. I could not agree more. The over-under is 46. Basically, even money for either sides. Houston by 1 for a little bit. This is a strange game. I don't remember these teams playing much in the past. They don't have a lot of history against each other. It is in Denver, and I hate taking road teams on Denver. So against Denver, I'm just staying away in this one. The next game on the slate, this is kind of a fun one. The Los Angeles Chargers, 5-2, taking on the 4-3 Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. So the Chargers have played really well. Phillip Rivers is up there in the MVP talk if Mahomes wasn't having such an incredible year. And then Seattle, they beat Detroit by a couple touchdowns last week. They are now 4-3, maybe looking to make a wild card push there. So it is in Seattle. Seattle, who I thought was bad to start the year, they began the season 0-2, are now somehow 4-3. So I didn't really know where to go. I said Chargers by 2 points is what I said.
I have Chargers -1.
You were closer. You boxed me out on this one. It is the Seahawks. Oh, wait, no, just a pick 'em. A pick 'em is what Vegas says right now. They have no idea either. And, you know, I kind of wanted to throw the Chargers in a tease, bump them to +14, +13. But I don't know, man. Seattle at home, they really almost should have won that game against the Rams. They were up by a touchdown several times in that game, but the Rams just kept coming back. I don't know what to think of the Seattle team, man. I mean, they just lost Earl Thomas, and yet they're playing like better without him. Any leans in this one for you? I can't decide where to go.
If it stays at the pick, I'll probably take the Chargers. I think they have the better offense. Defense, I think they might be pretty even, but I think they overall have the better offense, especially if Melvin Gordon plays, which after the bye, having 2 weeks off, you'd have to assume with the injury that he did have, I don't think he was super serious. You'd have to assume that he would play.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Seattle has just been another, just like Denver, very tough team to bet on or against this year. You know, they covered the spread against the Rams. They lost to the Bears, who we thought were going to be bad starting the year. So I don't really know what the fuck to think about them. Last week, they were, of course, underdogs against the Lions and won by 2 touchdowns. So I don't really know what to think of the Seattle team. And when I don't have a good feel for a team, I definitely just stay away. But the over-under is 48. And then, of course, the money line is virtually even. So I have nothing in this game. I don't like this game at all. So I'm staying away. But it sounds like you kind of want the Chargers a bit if the line is still a pick-em by the end of the week.
Oh, yeah. Slightly. Very, very, very slight.
The next game on the slate, oh, man. This might be one of the best games of the year. We have the 8-0... Los Angeles Rams taking on the 6-1 New Orleans Saints. The Rams coming off a win against the Packers last week by a couple points. Very solid win there. One thing I got to mention in this game, like I said, I love smart plays in the NFL, and I just cannot stand crazy, crazy dumb plays like the Steelers not returning that kick last week. One thing that it got a lot of buzz on Twitter and on ESPN is, you know, the Rams are up by 2, and then Todd Gurley bursts through the hole and looks to have an easy touchdown, and he falls at, like, the 6-yard line. Fantasy owners freaking out. I mean, everybody on Twitter, like, what the hell are you doing, Todd? What the fuck, man? I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Such a smart play to just get down. The game was over at that point. If he gets in the end zone, they're up by 8. If Greg Zuerlein misses the extra point, I mean, you're given 8 points for Aaron Rodgers to come back. Very, very smart play. I loved it. You cannot hate on Todd Gurley for that. And I know he got a lot of heat for it, but they got the win. They are 8-0. Now, New Orleans came into Minnesota. I had them, of course, last week because I thought they were going to win, and they did. They beat the Vikings by 10 points. So they are 6-1. It is in the Superdome. I said Rams by 2.5 points.
I'm going New Orleans -1 based only on home field advantage.
Well, I was way off, and you were very, very close. I had a terrible feel. I just thought they'd give the Rams a lot of respect because they're 8-0, but nope, it is New Orleans by 1.5 points. right now, according to Vegas. So you were almost right on the money for that one. Now, I don't. So in the Vikings New Orleans game last week, in the first half, the Vikings are marching down. They're already up 13-10. Thielen gets the catch. He's on the 6-yard line. It looks like they're going to score, and then he fumbles. Marshawn Lattimore returns it for 50 yards, and then they're down by 4 going into the half. So that swing in that game was just ridiculous. They were about to go. The Vikings were about to be up 20-10 with the ball in the second half, and then New Orleans gets that cheap fumble, and they're already marching down, and they're up by 4. That was one of the biggest swings I've seen in a game all season long. And the Vikings just really had no chance after that. The momentum shifted. So New Orleans, I don't think they deserve to be favored in this game. I mean, the Rams are just incredible right now. They're 8-0. They have one of the best offenses in the league. Their defense just picked up Dante Fowler. I don't get this line, really. So I'm throwing the Rams in a tease. So they will be plus 14.5 points. You get the little hook there so they can lose by 2 touchdowns and the tease still hits. But I think the Rams win this game. I don't think New Orleans is that good to be favored against the Rams. What do you think?
I'm probably going to take the Rams straight as well as putting them in a teaser. Also, as much as I don't want to take a total at 60, I'm probably going to be taking the total over as well. They're getting Cooper Kupp back this week, and the Saints give up a ton of yards out of the slot. And that's where Cooper Kupp gets 90% of his yards is in the slot.
I like it. I like it a lot. The over-under is extremely high. It might be the highest we've had on the slate, of any slate, really, throughout the 9 weeks. It is 60.5 right now. So that's extremely, extremely high. They think both of these teams score over 30. Now, the money line is basically even again. Very, very close spreads this week. So, you and I like them in a tease. So, like I said, I'm throwing them plus 14.5 in my teaser. I really like that one. I just think the Rams win straight up. And given the Rams 2 touchdowns, like, just print the cash right now, man. There's no way they lose this game by 2 touchdowns. The next game on the slate. This is another good game, man. Two GOAT conversation quarterbacks facing off in New England, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, 3-3-1, taking on the Patriots, 6-2, in Foxborough. Very, very excited to watch this matchup, Sunday night primetime game. The Packers, of course, I had them in my tease last week. They almost upset the Rams, but if not for the dumb Ty Montgomery fumble there out of the end zone, he is now a member of the Ravens after that. They probably would have won that game. So New England, of course, destroyed the Bills as well last week. So this is going to be a good one, man. I'm excited for this matchup. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. So Rodgers versus Brady in New England. I said Patriots by 4.5.
I got Patriots by 6.
Very nice guess by Zach. It is exactly New England by 6 points. You give them a lot more respect than I did. I think Green Bay, I know their record hasn't shown it, but they, I think, are a very solid team. I know they have a lot of question marks on the defensive side of the ball. But, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers, man. You can't short him. So, anything stick out in this game? It's on prime time. 57 is the over-under. Anything catch your eye?
With it being as high as it is, I'll probably take Green Bay, similar to what I did last week with Green Bay again versus the Rams. I think the line is a little bit inflated with it being in Foxborough. I think Green Bay can definitely cover 6, especially if it goes higher, which it may or may not. I think there's going to be a lot of money coming in on Green Bay soon. The total might be a good call, especially putting it in a teaser, trying to get it a little bit lower, maybe in a 13, putting it at 34, even teasing at 7 and putting it down at 40, I think would be a good call. The Packers just lost Quentin Dix because they traded him.
Yep.
So how much is that going to actually affect their defense? They're putting in guys who aren't very good or haven't played very much in that position and aren't known to be very good in coverage. With the Patriots being full go right now, having Julian Edelman back plus Josh Gordon. You always got James White skipping out of the backfield there, getting his 10 catches and 80 yards like he did last week.
Yeah.
You know, you have Chris Hogan still. You have Gronkowski that's going to be running up the middle. Their secondary seems to be a little bit undersized for the most part. How are they going to react with all that? I think New England wins. I don't think they win by six.
Yeah, I like the call there. So much so that I'm going to have them in my tease. I have Green Bay as the last leg of my teaser. 13-pointer bumps Green Bay to plus 19. I did the same thing last week. I mean, 19 points is way too much for Aaron Rodgers. I don't see New England winning this game even by six. I honestly think Green Bay can come in and win this football game. Very important game for them. If they lose, they're 3-4-1. Probably not going to make the playoffs at that, especially in the division that they're in. So Green Bay plus 19 is probably my favorite leg of the teaser. Almost three touchdowns you're getting. I really like that play. So it sounds like you're teasing them and you like the spread as well for Green Bay. I can totally get behind it. I can see them winning this game, honestly. So we have Green Bay plus 19, KC plus 4, the under 50.5 in the Chicago-Buffalo game, and the Rams plus 14.5 to end the teaser. So that is what I got this week. So it sounds like, yeah, you like Green Bay a lot, and maybe the over in this game because of the loss of HaHa Clinton Dix.
As of right now, yeah.
Yeah, let's see, New England money line about minus 280, Green Bay plus 200 for the victory. I don't like that. I feel like they should get a little more bumped up. I might take the Green Bay money line. Like last week, it was like plus 390 for the Green Bay to beat the Rams, and I wish I had thrown down a little money on that because it did look like it was going to be a Green Bay win there going into the last couple minutes. But yeah, this is going to be a great game, and I can't wait to watch it on Sunday night. The last game of the slate, Monday night. Ugh, I don't want to watch a second of this game. The 3-4 Tennessee Titans coming into Dallas at 3-4. God, I don't really. The Titans started off 3-1. They've lost three straight. They are now 3-4, and then Dallas. They just came off a bye week. I said Dallas by 3. I didn't really know where to go.
Take Dallas by 4.
I don't know how Vegas came up with this line. I'd really love to talk to some of the guys who create the lines because they have Dallas as 6.5-point favorites right now against the Titans. I don't know why they think Dallas deserves almost a touchdown. Nobody can explain that to me. Tennessee has been bad recently, but, I mean, it's Mariota. Their defense has played relatively well. They've just had a couple really shitty losses to the Bills. They lost on a last-second field goal. And then, they've struggled recently, but Dallas has no business being favored by almost a touchdown. So this game, for me, just right off the bat, total stay-away game, possibly a trap game. I just don't see Dallas winning by a touchdown in this one. What do you think?
I say at that number, I say super fade.
Yeah, absolutely. The over-under is 41. I don't know how they came up with this game for Monday night. I just do not want to watch a second of this one. Both teams have played really bad. And the one thing about this game, I guess, is Amari Cooper is now on the Cowboys. Any idea what we're going to see from him? Or he's been really bad this year, so I don't know how they gave up a first for him.
Well, Jerry Jones is known to overpay for high-skill, mediocre stat players. I think that's about what he's going to get. I don't think this week he's going to be doing very much, only because Dallas's offense hasn't been very good outside of Zeke. I think it shapes up to be a good Zeke game. Seems like lately they've been giving him a lot of carries and touches. Dak Prescott also hasn't been very good at getting his receivers the ball lately. I don't think he really does anything too noteworthy.
However, to sort of back Prescott a little bit, The guys he's throwing to are just like Cole Beasley and like Michael Gallup has been dropping a lot of balls to. Like, he just has no weapons. Jeff Swaim is there. Like, he's just got nothing to throw to there. So I feel kind of bad for him. I mean, it's really, I'm just really surprised that Jason Garrett is still the coach there. I mean, I don't get it. I thought he was going to be fired weeks ago, but they sort of had that upset win against Jacksonville. They won by 30 something points. So I don't really know where to think about this game. I'm not going to watch this game, and I'm not going to bet on this game. I'll know if I'm having a good week by Sunday night. Nothing in this game I like. Are you on board with me? Just staying away?
Yep, 100%.
Too weird of a game. I don't know what we're going to see. Dallas has been surprisingly good at home this year. Very good at home, actually. So I don't really know. I want to take Tennessee a little bit because the spread is really high. But other than that, nothing really. I mean, the over-under's 41. It's supposed to be a low-scoring Monday night game. Nothing I like. So to recap the picks here, we have not a lot this week. It's a very tough week. A lot of close spreads, a lot of pick-ems. So I am just going a little light. I got a $500 13-point teaser to win 400. Green Bay plus 19, KC plus 4. The under in the Chicago-Buffalo game bumps it up to 50.5, and then Rams plus 14.5, you get the hook there. And then I just had one player prop. I think Devontae Parker has a big week, $50 on him to get over 59 yards. So that is all I got. Zach, any locks that you got for this week? You want to recap your picks?
Usually I don't do anything until after college football. Right now, I don't have anything besides the teaser. Like I said, I'm leaning Washington, also Houston, and I'll probably take Kansas City straight along with the over because of how bad Cleveland's defense has been, and then as well as the L.A. New Orleans over as well, I believe. But, you know, things change.
For sure. Maybe even a little Rams spread in there. I think I like them to win this week.
Oh, yeah.
Sprinkle that in with a couple parlays. If you maybe bump Rams, parlay it with Kansas City, that seems like a really solid. I bet that's even plus money, too. So, yeah, I like it a lot. It's been a great week for you, for me this last week. It's been a very good season for us, and it sounds like you've been killing it as well. So hopefully we can stick to it this week and make some more money. So thank you, Zach, for coming on. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast and taking time out of your busy schedule. So thanks a lot, man. We'll have you on again for sure.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Take care, buddy.